This is the Celestial Goddess Podcast. Let's grow and show up with more compassion. I love you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone, for being here. And yeah, I got Corey in the background being my vocal drums. Yeah. I have an amazing person sitting here with me today. You know, we like to call him just Seth because he's just Seth, you know? Just a 3D name. But anyways, but yeah, we have this awesome person and we're going to chat and dive deep. I actually met him through my lovely boyfriend, Corbo.
And beautiful.
Yeah. Don't forget about his beauty. Beauty and the Beast over here. But yeah, so I met him through my boyfriend and yeah, you know, we're all vibing, mutual friends, making music together, making hits. But yeah, so anyways, welcome Seth.
What's up?
Finally.
Dude.
How many months did we talk about this? Like two months.
2 months. You know, and it's funny story actually, because
I planted the seed when we were in the studio and
And our seed came to fruition. It bloomed a beautiful little flower. Yeah. And we ran into each other at a comedy show. And it's so funny because I was sitting legit like beeline from you, recognized you even though you were in this dinosaur hoodie, which your head was basically covered. But yeah. I still knew it was you. I knew it. And then we ran into each other so divinely. And you spotted us because you're like, yo, that girl and her friend aren't wearing masks. Oh my God, that's lit. We're like, yeah, we pushed the limits over here.
Yeah.
We pushed the limits.
Yeah, I felt the shame in that moment, you know. coming out of the bathroom, realizing that there was someone who had more gusto than me.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, no, I was stoked. I was like, wait, I was like, whoa, there's two people right there that aren't wearing masks. And as I approached, I think I took my dinosaur... Because I have the dinosaur contraption hood.
It's a hood.
It doubles as a what I like to call a face diaper.
Yeah, and, face diaper. I like that word.
And I took it off because I was like, oh, pff, dude. I mean, I got in the door. The show's over. I'm leaving anyway. Like,
yeah, you unveiled yourself.
Yeah. Is this a no swearing podcast? Because I can keep the filter on.
You know, listen to your heart, you know. Nobody gives a fuck because I keep it 1,000, okay? Yeah. We are 1,000, period. Period. Keep it 1,000.
Just had to make sure I had the urgent back of my brain. The filter.
No,
profanity right. filter.
I know. So. You know what? I can do a little explicit thing if we have too many F-bombs. I can say, you know what? To all the moms out there, don't watch this with your child. If, you know, we're...
The filter is only a made-up thing, too.
Yeah.
Filter is a made-up thing.
Yeah.
Is it, Corbo?
Yes.
Okay. A made-up thing. It's a... I agreed. I don't even know what it means, but I like Corbo,
Corbo.
We can loop back to that.
We'll loop back to Corbo and Renoir.
Yeah, dude. So I saw you at the show.
Yes,
and
you
then
saw me at the show.
I was actually just trying to walk out of the building, and I was like, well, it's kind of over. Like, even if they try to kick me out at this point, I don't really care because I'm leaving. And then I was like, wait, is that?
I was like, what?
That's Jay's girl. That's her friend.
That's Jay Holland's girlfriend. That's then, my name. Jay Holland's girlfriend.
Dude, well, yeah, I was like, what's her name? What's her name?
What's
and
her
I
name?
Think I even asked you. I was like, wait, what's your name again? I know you. We smoked a joint together and
dude,
I know you. But,
yes.
Yeah, we ended up chit-chatting in the venue and then no one said anything about the naked face. It's kind of what I like to call it. The raw face.
Oh, the raw face. Yeah.
Yeah. And then for a few minutes, we had probably 5-10 minutes of just chatting about our astrological signs.
Yes, we did. Yes.
And many other things briefly, but
yes.
And then the venue staff was like, well, you guys got to go.
You got to go.
You got to leave that way. And we just kind of walked out. And it was nice. Very serendipitous.
Serendipitous.
As you said, everything is divine. And I kind of interpreted that as everything happens for a reason.
Yes.
And I think that is for divine purpose and with divine intent.
Yes.
To
ooh,
lead us.
Speak it, bro.
You know?
Lead
to
us.
Guide us.
Yes.
Rather, maybe. Because we can choose not to follow.
There you go, right?
To guide us to our ultimate purpose. And whether that's even for a day or for a consecutive streak of days, it's sort of something you can't control, but that you can always flow with.
Yes, and I was like,
that's probably affirmation right there. That
boom.
You know, Corey the week before I think had mentioned, dude, you should get on Corinne's podcast and chat about this crazy spiritual stuff. And because we were kind of talking, we got pretty deep here.
You guys got deep on your own.
And we got. It was like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Just going woo-woo with it, man.
And I love it. Like, having deep heart talks. Yeah. Like, you know, it's funny. People want to label it woo-woo because then it's, like, easy to write it off.
Foo-foo, woo-woo, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it's like, let's actually dive into your soul for a second. Yeah. Let's crack that heart open and see really what's going on. Let's talk about your Polish roots. Let's talk about some ancestral trauma. Like, we're all, like... You know, we're going through so much, especially in this time, and
I think that's something we should probably touch on.
Yeah, too, let's touch because, it. Because I fucking miss touching people.
Because it.
Let me touch you.
Please hug me. Yeah, dude. Please hug me. My neighbor came by, and I've been kind of subconsciously seeding to him that I don't really care about the whole mask thing. Mm-hmm. I know my science, etc. I know that, you know, virologists measure the thingy to be, you know, between 80 and 120 nanometers in diameter, and that, you know, it's basically a mosquito to a chain link fence. So you go ahead and wear your thingy. And,
your thingy.
And I'll just,
it's gonna slip right through.
And I'll just live my life without being controlled by fear.
Yeah.
That is created entirely externally from what I know is to be, you know, true. And,
I agree.
And that's okay. You know, I will never go up to someone and ridicule them for the place that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Because where you are is not necessarily who you are.
Yes.
You can always change who like where you are.
Yes.
If you really, I think, take the reins on who you are and get in alignment with that. You know?
Have courage to do that.
So I'll never shame anyone for where they're at, because I know I'm not right now where I will be 6 months from now.
Totally.
From now. And
yeah.
I, you know, how would that make me feel? Someone's just like, you're a freaking
idiot,
dude.
Yeah.
Like, well, okay. Thanks. I'm also a tangenter. I know we kind of established
go on tangents.
This.
Yes. You being an Aquarius. Earlier.
But because we brought up the woo-woo foo-foo thing and how so many people kind of downplay it.
Yeah.
We should definitely loop back or hit it whenever you want.
Touch it, hit it, whatever. Catch a DV charge. Just kidding.
I'm trying to be serious.
I know, right? No, we're serious. I know, that's a part of my life. I feel like.
Why so serious? Yeah.
Right? That's another thing, right? Because I've battled. See, now I don't want to go off on a tangent, but
do it.
That's been my struggle with yoga. Like, I did these teacher trainings and was trained to teach yoga, and yoga is like kind of serious. And like, I've battled with finding a teaching style because I feel like I don't know. That's in my own thing.
When you say serious, what do you mean by yoga is serious? Like, what?
Well, see, and that's controversial. Just saying that. Oh, I'm dipping into something. I don't know. See, it does feel more. I guess that's my like airy brain speaking. Like, I guess I have trouble getting grounded, and I feel like, I guess not saying being serious is bad or anything like that, but it's definitely like having more of like a calm, grounding energy, which I admire. You are totally grounded in the vibe. And then, my airy energy, I get a kind of, this is why I smoke weed, because it's like, I get so up here, and sometimes I just need to like funnel it down and just kind of like take a deep breath.
What is it about the environment of doing yoga, or in whatever environment you are when you teach it, that makes you feel like it has to be serious, or that you have to,
you know, see, there's my imposter syndrome coming out.
Is that
I think that's the imposter syndrome. I think I've gone to so many classes that have been so like, which I realize I'm like, they're just a human too. They're just holding a calm, relaxed space.
They're
for
just
me.
Corinne too.
See, they're just, oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's why I introduced myself as just Seth.
I'm just Seth. I'm just Corinne.
I'm different than you, right?
Right.
So if you hold those expectations about other people, or rather you don't hold expectations of other people, you just allow them to be them, then why would you treat yourself any different?
Right, dude. Say it again. Right.
Doom. I always need the reminder as well.
See, yes.
Because everyone's got their head trash. Yeah. Everyone's got their physical being, which I think is kind of always in contrast to our inner being,
right?
Which is our some people refer to as spirit. I know you have a lot of, I call it spirit, but I know a lot of people I love and respect and listen to call it inner being.
So many words for it. You were source. Using source. Like source, yeah. Spirit, soul. Yeah, there's so, just like our light, our essence.
So it's so funny that I kind of created the whole tangent by saying I'm trying to be serious and and I'm not at all. I'm just want to make sure I'm not losing the flow.
Yeah, no, I love it. Thank you.
But no, that's so key because I find myself constantly learning that lesson of why would I expect anything more of myself than anyone else if I know we're equal.
Right.
In our value and in our potential and capacity.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, dude, yoga, it doesn't have to be serious.
Dude, it doesn't, just, right? Just let it go. Exactly. It's what I eventually teach.
Make it silly.
Yeah, make it silly. Make it fun. I do have one teacher who I actually interviewed on the podcast. Her name's Leah. Like, that's what I love about what she brings to the table as well. Okay. She's another fellow Gemini air sign.
Okay.
But she definitely brings, like, her funness to it. And then, yeah, once again, it's a divine reflection. Like, we really are all connected. And, like, why am I holding myself on some pedestal or holding others on a pedestal and feeling like I can't create that as well? Or I don't know. I feel like it's that humanness, right? It's like that human kicks in and it's like just experiencing the vast wave of all the emotions. And like you said, I mean, it's not all of our thoughts are ours. So there's some trash thoughts that are maybe, you know, a babysitter that I had growing up. And I will never forget what you said that one time. But it's funny how little things stick with you though, right? Because I have a memory, like I was never insecure about this one thing until someone that I looked up to pointed it out and compared it to a good friend of mine. And then it started to make me feel insecure about this one thing. And it's like, and it's funny, that person probably doesn't realize that I never forgot that. And that was a huge thing I had to kind of go through my own healing with. And kind of, I like to think of it like we're all wearing our own glasses. Like everyone's wearing a pair of glasses that have their own perspective, right? Their view on things. And so I had to learn how to take off the glasses of judgment, of shame, of comparison, you know, that not a healthy feminine energy, you know? Like, I mean, you're a dude.
You have a wonderful feminine energy. There's so many.
Thank you.
I honestly, and I definitely gave the kudos to Corey on this one too, because I was, and I'm not at all surprised because I love Corey's energy and I felt it right away. I was like, this dude is so out there, but so cool.
Yeah. And like a good person, like genuinely, a legit, genuine.
Like, I enjoy can feel it. I mean, I feel like everyone can feel it.
Energy is so felt.
Everyone can feel it, but not everyone is aware that they're feeling it. So instead of being aware, I think it's like they're not even in control of their own vibration. And I call them sticky people.
Sticky people.
Where
that's funny.
Everything's all the vibes that they're surrounded by and the energy that they're picking up on, it sticks to them because they aren't aware or certain of who they need to be and what their vibration needs to be in order to attract the right things and detract the wrong things.
Right.
So they're sticky people. They just absorb. They're like the lint filter in the vacuum or whatever. You know, it's like, they not only allow everyone's negative energy to stick to them, and like we do as children, we're so vulnerable, or our walls are so down that we don't care about life through the glasses as much, you know?
Yeah.
I call it a frame, like a camera. I know that's horrible. I hate TVs, but we have a TV on the wall here. And it's a frame. It's a format. It's got four walls. And I think about the way we perceive everything in life is the same exact way. We can only see, you know, 2,000 on the Kelvin scale in color. We can only see about like 2 to 23 up to like 64, 65 as humans before it goes below is infrared and above is ultraviolet. So that's the box on what we can see with our eyes. 20 to 20,000 hertz is what we can hear left to right. And it's almost creates a box that we perceive everything through, whether that's what people say to us, what we see them do to us, what we observe through ears and eyes and everything else and how we feel through this body. It's kind of like glasses, like the frames of your glasses. And it's not until we are open to perceiving and receiving and allowing what's going on outside of what we can see. Because we know ultraviolet exists.
Right.
But we don't see it. So if you know it how do you know it exists if you don't see it? Right? Very simple.
Yeah, it's simple.
Very simple. We have other points of reference. We have technology that sees it. We have tools that are grounded in and on and from and of Earth that tell us that and respond to these things, like infrared and anything below 20,000 hertz, which we know, like, that's what happens when a big cargo crate gets dropped. You feel the boom of the rumble. It's like, just because you can't hear it doesn't mean it's not happening.
Right, exactly.
And how is it any different with when it comes to spirit in the spiritual realms? You feel things. Like,
so true.
You feel that you believe in a virus that you can't see, that you know nothing about, that you can't tell me, you can't even tell me what it looks like. And so many people, I mean, there's other people that would say they do, and that's okay. I have good conversations with those people, but it's amazing how much faith you put in something that you don't see because you're told to believe. But the other things that are, you know, just on the other side of that, of, hey, maybe something internal is causing you to experience that negative experience that you're going through. Maybe it's something spiritual that you're not aware of. And it's amazing how it doesn't take any more belief to be aware of those things as it does to believe in the invisible, what I like to call the new flu.
The new flu. That's a really great lens to put it in. You know what I mean? And it brings me back to another thing someone told me, like, television, literally tell a vision. So it's like literally like what you're saying right here with this flu. I mean, they're telling a vision to people.
And they're broadcasting it onto us.
It's broad and being casted, casting a spell.
Yeah.
See, isn't it kind of funny, the wordplay? And that kind of shows, like...
And, you know, television programs.
It's a program.
We're being programmed.
How much more obvious could they be, right? Like, that kind
of...
They
have to be. Right? It's part of the ritual. It's part of their...
That's almost like the aha, you're so dumb. You know what I mean?
Because it's like, it's their religion. It's their belief. There's a great book I need to reread. I've read segments of it because it's so deep and it's like, whoa, you can go into a dark place and read this book.
Oh, wow.
And I don't even want to mention the title of it. Because then you're going to know the author and then you're going to think I'm crazy. No. Not you, but whoever's listening. But it does go into the history behind secret societies and people that supposedly, allegedly control the media and television and programming.
Totally, yes.
And
reptilians.
Yeah, hence the lizard.
And I didn't even name that. That's funny. Are you?
No.
Just kidding.
it's a, what's the word? It's kind of like a, not sarcastic. Why am I blanking? I'm still waking up,
I think.
Still,
hey, that's okay. Yeah, we haven't even told him your, like, stage name, your alter ego.
Yeah, we can, I mean, lead this conversation.
Liz Lizard?
Liz Scarlet is the name that I chose initially.
Okay.
I'm just Seth, but obviously, Liz Scarlet. Yes. I chose that name as an alter ego. Have you ever done acting? Like plays or anything?
You know, I feel like my spirit has in past lives. I'm trying to like be in that entertainer role now, honestly. But
you're being you right now, right?
I'm being you.
You feel like you're...
I feel like I'm like naturally an entertainer. So I feel like I did little skits growing up. I would like make up games and imaginary things and want to make people laugh and, you know, feel.
So you've acted.
Boom,
You've played a role before, right?
Yes, yeah, I've played a role.
Have you ever been like, as a kid, because I know I did a lot, I'm this person
right
now. This is who I am right
now. Yeah. I'm a witch right now. I play that a lot.
That's why I created Liz, was it's the switch that I get to flip when I step into an environment where I am performing. And putting on an alter ego and a persona. I feel like the imposter syndrome really does kick in a lot more when you don't create separation between the entity that you're wanting everyone to perceive you as and who you truly are off stage. Because it starts to... Ego can get really tricky when you start to intertwine those things.
That's a good point.
Because when, and not even that we were crazy massively famous or anything, but it's like when you get people that start to follow you, and I almost say, like, not worship you, but they kind of worship you. It's kind of like church. Like, I grew up, as I mentioned earlier,
yeah,
in a super religious, like, I would call it pagan Christianity.
Okay.
Form of religion. Mm. And it was very much the three tenets of paganism, and that was the pulpit, the clergy, and the steeple, or the...
See, I don't even know about that.
The building, basically. It's like the temple or whatever. But basically... Okay. You know, everyone comes in and they worship, but it's weird how music can be that same thing, that same energy you feel.
Yeah, because it is, like, I think of, like, an artist I really love, like, for example, Lizzie Jeff. Like, I love her, but I feel like somewhat I'm like, I listen to your shit daily, like, I'm committed, like, I am almost, it is, like, lyrics that are, like, medicine for me, and I do almost see that as, like, church, Bible, like, I,
you know. So imagine all the people in the world, and a lot of people... Like, going from, let's just say, a room this small, like let's just talk about just Seth for a second. Mm-hmm. When I lived in California for 4 years, I had hardly any friends. I don't want to say no friends, because I did have probably this many really good friends that I could
spend time with. At least a couple, yeah.
But 8 hours of every day, I was very much alone, like, in my own. It was a new place. I homeschooled as a kid. Oh, okay. I did not go to... any public school until college, and I we can get into that too.
Okay.
I actually did graduate college with my first degree by the time most kids get out of high school. So I did go to college and got a degree, and realized how stupid college is for me. I think the best thing that came of it was relationships.
Mm.
That was the most valuable thing. For me, you know, I don't know shit on anybody.
Yeah, you can only speak for yourself.
Yeah, and who knows? I might go back to college at some point if it makes sense for me.
Exactly.
But I would much rather hire a mentor and a coach and someone who's done what I want to do versus paying a system to be plugged into, be another cog in the system.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally called an institution.
Institution. Like, it's exactly.
Yeah. Like, hey, once again, the obvious.
The obvious.
That is, like, not obvious.
Yeah, but when I was alone, being very isolated and dreaming up a vision of this is what I want to do, playing guitar, you know, 8 hours, 6 hours a day sometimes, at least 3 to 4 hours a day, like every day, and really honing a craft, but feeling alone, and then moving into the actual creation phase of, like, playing your first show, releasing your first high quality music, getting that music on the radio, having people show up at your shows, having your shows sell out, touring the nation. Like, once it starts to build, I think if you don't hold space and create separation between the vision and the dream and the performer entity you've created and who you are off stage, just Seth, the ego takes over, and you start to think more, you start to think that you're better than you are and that you're better than other people.
Mm.
And I don't say that's, like, a given,
right,
but I would say it's much easier to get lost in the sauce.
Those lines are blurred, right? Because it's like being on stage, being this performer, like, and I even feel that way in yoga, like, this is advice, thank you. Like, I can, you know, soak up from you, like, even, like, in my own situation, you know, because we can only speak for ourselves, but it's still, it is, like, even if teaching a little class, that is, like, the stage. You know what I mean? And then eventually you grow people that want to come take your class. Like, I remember I have devoted teachers where their class would be full. Matt. Yeah. So I think of it similarly, like, on stage, having your fans and, like, I mean, honestly, that makes a lot of sense for me. Like, holding space for the, in my sense, like, the teacher that I'm trying to be, or, like, the character that you're trying to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, having that space, owning it, and, like, tapering that vision so that way that can be that,
it
and
can
you
be
can still be.
You want it to
exactly.
Be.
And it's not related to actual your spirit and source. It's just, like, something you love to do, right? Like, it's a part of, like, that purpose of, I want to share my music, I want to share my creations, I want to share my passion for this, but I want to be able to still draw a line because I am a human as well.
Yes.
And that's what I've had trouble, like, that. So what you said, it totally really resonates so much for me. That's
and
been
there's
my...
there's a flip side of it, too, because it doesn't, that doesn't just relate to people that perform. It's just that that's my perspective because that's my experience. But a flip side of that coin is when you put yourself out there in mm-hmm. front of a lot of people,
yeah.
you're not only going to receive positive worship and energy. You're going to receive everything. I think energy is reciprocal. And unfortunately or fortunately, however you choose to perceive it,
right.
we live in a dual reality
totally.
Experience. Mm-hmm. And whatever this timeline is that we're in, duality is a thing.
Totally.
It is the physical thing that mm-hmm. we're trapped within,
mm-hmm.
which is why I love the spiritual, because it's the triangulation of those two points. Mm. Negative, positive, you get to triangulate what you want, which means it's beyond two-dimensional, black yeah. or white, on or off, one or zero, binary choice. When you can step out of the binary choice frame,
mm-hmm.
you get to start triangulating.
Mm, I love how you put things.
Outside of that.
Yeah.
And so many people are like, it's not, duality isn't a thing, you know, and they'll get angry about it. I'm like, well, that just, the way, I mean, sure, I don't disagree, but the way you're triggered tells me that it is for you.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, that's
you're
like,
still trapped in duality.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that's, I'm so high and mighty. I'm not, dude, every day I have to choose not to be trapped in duality. And I have to choose to how I'm going to triangulate.
Right.
Otherwise, I get lost in the sauce of my day.
Totally.
And I know that's another tangent, but I'll loop it back to the having the separation, the discretion yeah. between personal life, entertainment life.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing goes for people who have day jobs
mm.
or who are pursuing an education. It's so healthy to create separation. Mm. Some people call them totems. Some people call them uniforms or like the crazy clothes,
you know, right.
I keep pointing back as a reference, but
yeah.
so that when I step off stage and I can take the outfit off and become Seth,
mm-hmm.
anything that I absorbed or anything that entity absorbed is no longer relevant to me.
Mm.
So all the nasty shit that... So whenever people talk shit about me or my band,
yeah.
they're talking shit about a fake straw man that I created.
Right.
All they know about what they think they know about me is attached to what I've created for them to latch onto.
Mm. Yes.
So, yeah, say whatever you... The more attention, the better. You say whatever you want about this.
Yeah.
You know nothing other than what I allow you to know about this. And the same thing goes for your work life.
Yeah.
If you're, for instance, like if you're in sales or you're a business owner and you face a lot of rejection, it's important to create separation. You know, sometimes it's putting on a hat or wearing a watch or putting on glasses or wearing a suit so that when you step out of that role and you're done with that for the day, and you're done mm-hmm. with work for the day,
yeah.
you leave it there.
Yeah.
And you create that separation to where all the negative rejection you faced,
mm-hmm.
all the shit of people saying, you sing like shit, I hate your voice, your songs suck, all the shit that you see while you're in that role don't affect just Seth, because that wasn't Seth.
Right. No, I love that.
And it's kind of, some people are like, dude, you're freaking retarded for like even thinking that's possible. But it's like, no, that's how I do it. That's how I was able to do it.
Yeah.
And
you're pretty young too. Like you're younger than me.
Wait, how old are you?
I'm 27. I'll be 28 in June. I know. I thought you were older than me.
Yeah, I am younger than you. That's crazy.
But that goes.
I just turned 26 not too long ago. So,
oh yes, yeah, February, baby.
February.
Yeah,
yes.
Hey, yeah, what's yeah. good?
February 10th.
Let's so you're go. 95.
95, dude.
See, and that's crazy. My brother is 1995, and it just like, it yeah, it goes to show, like you said, what you're conscious and aware of, mm-hmm. and then how you're choosing to spend that energy and intention.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's like the biggest piece of our human existence that we have is like our devotion, our intention, our mm-hmm. choice, our energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how are we going to use it?
Yeah. And when you know? Allow, I just keep looking back at this when I'm referring to that other, almost creating an alter ego
yeah.
for the tough shit. and the really good shit.
Yeah, right, yeah. But I feel like that's also, like, a part of, like, protecting your soul. And, like, I, yes. like, a big thing that I've been working on, I don't know if I mentioned it in my last share, but last month, well, gosh, now we're in May, so this was March. I was kind of having, I was struggling, I think, through, like, February, March. And what I realized is I think I was turning into, like, a sticky person. Ooh. And I had all this energy, you know, good and bad, that was sticking with me, that was kind of fucking me up on my, in my personal time. Because then, you know, and so what I've really been practicing a lot is spiritual hygiene. So I think I was like, ooh, like good. Even like, I wish I could, but.
Should write a book called Spiritual Hygiene.
I wish I made it up. I definitely did not. But I'm like, where did I hear that? But, yeah, I mean, that could be a self-help book right there, spiritual hygiene. Like, not only do I wash my body and brush my teeth, but I wash my energetic field. Mm, you know, like in the shower, I envision, you know, golden white light cleansing me.
And I take my clothes off before I get in the shower.
Still, boom! You are, like, the king of analogies. High five! High five! That's, like, the same thing,
you
right?
You set it up. You teed it up for me.
I think we're a good team. I think you just, you put it in the hole, man. A1. Is that what you call it in golfing? I don't know. I don't golf. Hole in one. There we go. No, A1, the steak sauce. A1's. I'd rather have a steak and lobster than play some golf.
I wonder if A1, yeah. Well, never mind.
Anyways. Tangent. But, yes, yeah, so going back to the stream, the main river we're on.
You don't brush your teeth with food in your mouth.
Exactly, right? So it's like the same thing of energy.
Yes.
And, you know, and what I heard, and you may know this too, I probably said this on the podcast, forgive me if I did before, but our heart's electromagnetic field reaches 6 feet wide. So it's kind of funny with the whole 6 feet distance.
I did not know that.
And there's a whole,
I do not doubt that.
Yeah, dude, there's a whole college in California that is dedicated to heart math. Our heart is so intelligent, and our heart is emotionally intelligent. Mm-hmm. So our heart actually sends more messages to our brain than our brain sends to our heart. And also, that's a part of that, like, feeling someone's vibe and energy. Mm-hmm. You know, like, anyone can wear whatever mask or costume they want, but their energy doesn't fucking lie. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel their heart's electromagnetic field.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really powerful. And it's, I think that's that energy body, like you said, that you're tapping into, you know? And then this is where that triangle, you know, however you stated it, I forget how you...
You're just triangulating. It's
triangulate.
Well, you can't triangulate without more than one point of reference.
Mm. So that's where duality comes in.
Yes.
So like having the awareness and what your intention, where you're really going to put your energy in. You know, because we could go either way. Like, that's yin and yang, right? Like, yin and yang. It all exists. And the same with, like, tree of life, tree of death. Like, what energy are we choosing to be in right now? We can be in that unconditional love and acceptance, or we can be in judgment and fear and lack.
Yeah.
You know, but it's so,
And there is a balance, too, you know, and I think that's the whole point of yin and yang is and duality is to understand that there must be a balance.
There must be a balance.
Energy cannot be, what is it, is it the first or second law of thermal dynamics? But it's basically order can't come from chaos. Which is why I'm not really a big bang believer. I believe in intention and creation. I believe we are made to create. We're made in the image of God or the higher being, and that he is a creator, or it is a creator, and it designed us to create, and we are designed to create. I call it a hymn because of my belief, but I don't, you know, limit anyone what they think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'm created as, and I think we're all created as in the image of God. And that we are we're creators. And that's why we don't really feel in alignment until we're creating and triangulating outside of reactionary duality.
Yeah.
Because if we're stuck in duality, we're stuck in a reactive state where everything happens to us instead of for us.
Mm.
Right? So big moments. But the heart thing that you said, I got to look into that because... I have a buddy who is very much into energy, frequency, chakras and stuff. And he's working with a naturopathic doctor, physician, I don't know what you call him, practitioner that has like this table of different metals and you lay on the table and it responds to your frequencies and different energy points in your body, and he can tell what's wrong, like, or what's out of alignment.
It's so fascinating.
On a vibrational level, due to how the, I don't know what you call
them. I think they're forks. Are you the, they're like the tube prod thing? Is that what you're talking about?
He was telling me about it. I don't remember. I was just like, I love that.
Yeah.
I want to learn about that. So I'm, and it's in, once again, Southern California, so or Orange County area, I think is where he's at, but.
We're going to make a trip down to Cali.
Dude, I know, spiritual journey, let's go.
Let's do it. Hey, go to Mount Shasta, that's the root chakra of the world. So you have to meet India, she's actually moving, so my, now side tangent, because my sweet dear sister India, which I will interview on the podcast in, I think, less than 2 weeks, because I'm going to go visit her in Colorado.
Oh, gotcha.
But she is, yes, my Polish other Aquarius sister here. I swear, I mean, you're Polish or Aquarius too? That's funny. Now I forget where I was going with that.
You see you're attracting something?
Like, I am attracting something, I'm putting it out there. I'm attracting, But, anyways, I only brought that up because she told me about Mount Shasta, and she had a very crazy experience there, like, spiritually, because I've heard it's the root chakra of the world,
I've driven past it many, many times.
Okay. Many times. I've never been. But back Back and forth. You're acknowledging, like, hey, what's up, Shasta?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up? Peace.
Thanks for the vibes.
Thanks for the vibes. I'll check you out later.
I've never broken down. Well, actually... Yeah, never broken down anyway, but I was going to say never broken down on Shasta, so that's kind of irrelevant, that's stupid.
Yeah, but no, but you never know. I mean, if Mother Shasta needed you to, she would have, you know, you would have been there.
Yeah.
But no, it's just interesting, like, just to go back to about, like, taking accountability for what you attract as well. I know you kind of named that in vibration, because, you know, if something not so pleasant comes up, it's like looking at that as a teacher and what lesson is within this lower vibration, you know?
Yes.
And like actually working through it, you know? Because I've been learning a lot about like toxic positivity recently and spiritual bypassing. And, you know, it, and it's so common.
Like,
and
there's no weeds, there's no weeds, there's no weeds.
There's no,
like,
exactly, right. Yeah, yeah. And I will admit, I was guilty of that in the past. Like, for example, a friend trying to, you know, vent to me and I'm over here like, solution, positivity. And it's like, you know what? No, I needed to just hold space for her to just feel and be and stop trying to, you know... Yeah. I mean, and it's powerful, and that's, like, a part of, like, this, I think, seeing, finding lessons and seeing teachers within those hard moments, because it's... It's a lot. Just feeling it all. I don't even know. Maybe you can touch more on it, but
no, for like, sure, man. I think when you engage in someone who's got a lot of negative, they got a lot of baggage. When you're not, I think you put it as grounded, or you're not certain, and you don't really hold that inner locus of control over how you feel.
Yeah.
And your vibration, it's so easy to be penetrated by. Other and be sticky. You're sticky.
Yeah.
And I used to, I'm so guilty of that in the past, and also have to be on guard
right
in when the present, you know, and in the future as to not be sticky in those ways. But
it's so
easy to become sticky when you engage with that energy.
Yeah.
Because you're playing with that fire.
Yeah. It's a good way to
versus sometimes the best thing to do is hold space and just be silent, because it's almost like, I think words are so powerful too, and what we speak and affirm and what comes out of our mouth is really from the heart in many ways, and that's why I'm like, wow, when I hang out with certain people that get drunk, I'm like, when they say stuff, I'm like, okay, I know you're drunk, but that came from somewhere deeper that's been there for a while.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you really want to know your friends, you know, go or know the people in your vicinity, get almost as wasted as they are, or just go hang out or go stop by while they're wasted and just see what kind of comes out of their mouth. You can find out a lot.
It is really interesting to observe those drunk thoughts and then how they can be totally disregarded when you're sober. Because I know for me, if I'm drinking, like, I still own my shit. I still feel this. It might just be more enhanced. Like, I might be more... Yeah. I mean, you know what alcohol makes you
loose
want to
cannon.
Do.
Yeah.
Loose cannon, take your clothes off. You're like, I just want to fuck everything. But let's be real, though. If someone is feeling that way, it's like maybe there's a deeper need for, like, you know, attention or, like, love. Like, maybe you're, I mean...
Like you said, it's like an amplifier.
Yes, an amplifier.
Where you're at anyway. So maybe, yeah, We don't got to get too far into the dark stuff.
That's okay.
But you can, you know, you can imagine and do your own searching and be aware. You know, just be aware. And,
just be aware.
With other people and their form of energy, you know, people that are sober, that are just like, bah, 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 all the negative.
Projecting, judgmental, yeah. Comparison.
Sometimes, I've noticed with certain people, I'm becoming a person of firm boundaries with certain people.
Yes.
Now, and I'm very specific about, I think the thing I value most is time. Mm-hmm. And because time is, you never really get time back. And I know we could probably go deep into that.
Yeah.
And there's other beliefs, but I mean, currently in this
yes.
Timeline, it is linear currently where I'm at. And I value this journey, and I'm not gonna, it's so short. I'm not gonna let other people, their negative shit stick to me.
Yeah.
To the best of my ability.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I'm getting more firm in a loving way with people, and sometimes just holding space and then asking the tough questions.
Yes.
Without being like a dickhead about it or a little bitch
like
about it.
Like having compassion, really. Like speaking with compassion.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Empathy. Feeling, I feel for you. But it's kind of what we were talking about in the kitchen earlier is that when people project negative or unfair or just not nice things on you, it's a reflection of how they're treating themselves.
Exactly.
So you start, when you realize that and you're aware of that, you start to empathize because you're like, when they say something mean to you, instead of getting triggered, because what triggers us controls us, what we allow to trigger us has power over us.
Totally.
When you're not allowing yourself to be triggered and you instead flip the charge, the negative to positive, and you go, I see they're dealing with something internally that's causing them to project this on me. I have empathy and I have grace. And I hold that space, and then I ask the tough questions. And based on how people respond, I will either give them the opportunity to get out of their head trash and align themselves with my energy, which is hopefully positive and in the best state possible.
Yeah.
It's hard to maintain that, for sure. It's a daily thing. But or I cut them out. Ruthlessly, now. And it sucks. Because I think I've lost, as I've loved myself more, I never really knew what that meant until like a year or two ago, to be honest with you. I was getting triggered by that when people said, just love yourself. It's like, what does that even mean? Love myself. Like, does that mean be selfish and shit?
Yeah.
I had this horrible, story in my head that I told myself. And then I worked with a life coach, hired my first coach, you know, and he was basically like, no, man, you need to love yourself. And look out for yourself. You need to protect yourself and kind of create the separation. And what are you making it mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we give everything meaning.
Right.
What are we making it mean? So guard your heart, guard your thoughts, and be aware of what you're choosing to make it mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm losing my track here, trying to loop back and stay on track because I do this.
No, I love you named so many beautiful things, honestly.
I think it was with cutting people out.
With cutting people out and loving yourself more.
I wanted to tie off that thought of when I started, I realized what I was doing when I was being triggered by people that said, love yourself. I was projecting my own inner head trash because I didn't love myself.
Yeah.
And once I realized what it meant to love myself, I started losing what I would have considered as friends very quickly. Because I started to set boundaries that looked out for me. I didn't change how I treated other people.
Right.
In terms of how I love them, I was still just as nice, just as generous, just as considerate, even more so.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was humbled to realize that everyone goes through this shit.
Yeah.
Internally. But I became aware of my own and I started to realize where I was being taken advantage of because I was allowing it.
You were allowing it. Yeah.
And once it's amazing what happens once you start to protect yourself from the things that you're allowing to drain you and stick to you and lower your vibration out of alignment. It's amazing who you realize is just who have just been lurking in the shadows of your life.
Yeah.
And they flee. It's amazing. You don't even have to do anything bad or mean. you just say no to one thing that you've never said no to before. Mm-hmm. And you know, not just like, hey, dude, will you pick me up from the airport? No, it's not like that. It's like, hey, dude, I can't make that work at that date, mm-hmm. but have you thought about hitting up this person? Or, you know, I could, you know, ask somebody else. Like, that's a horrible example, but it's amazing when you set boundaries and go, you know what, it's better for me to do what I committed to doing mm-hmm. instead of making myself available on a whim for someone. Now, there are times where there are certain people I will drop everything for. Mm-hmm. And I will say no to everything else. But when I know that person should have planned ahead, there's other options for that person. I won't just cut them off. And this is a hypothetical example,
right,
by the way.
Right.
I will protect and guard my boundary, but I will mm-hmm. offer a solution. Mm-hmm. And I know that people that just go, like they slap, it's like when they slap the ice cream out of your hand. That's like, you know?
Oh, that's
you know
horrible.
What I mean? It's
I
like
love
that.
Ice cream.
It's like, yeah. It's like, it reminds me of Nacho Libre when, I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. Yeah. When Steven comes, I haven't seen that movie in years,
dude,
but I love
like,
it.
Yeah, it's
when
been
Steven
so
comes up with the corn and he's just like, get that corn out of my face. It's like when people do that to you, I'm like, dude, I'm not even like, fuck you anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, dude, I feel for you. And I don't want any of that energy
in your field.
6 foot radius.
Yes, for real. Your electromagnetic field. Yeah. Yes, your own vibration. Yeah. And I think there is so much respect out of that. And like you said, it's like you see the people who truly like care and mm-hmm. have compassion and respect mm-hmm. for you because mm-hmm. they'll respect your boundaries.
Yes.
You know, it's like the people who are like draining. And it's same, I feel like similar reflection I realized too. Once I started speaking my truth and laying mm-hmm. boundaries out, it is interesting to see how quick someone will turn, slap you in the face, slap that corn out of your hand. Yeah. When you're like, damn, like, this is better for me, and you can't have any, you have no compassion or care for, like, mm-hmm. what is truly honoring my soul right now.
Yeah.
You know, and
you start to see, even if it's not intentional,
even
you
if it's,
start
yeah.
to see how people are wired on the external. It becomes very clear. You
yeah.
start to see through the box of mm-hmm. perception. You start to realize, okay, there's something deeper here that they're going through that they're not dealing with.
Yeah, and
that's,
they're
causing them to, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, project onto me mm-hmm. and then put all this hate on me, judgment on me. And that yeah. was a big thing I had to, like, that was a big wake up call for me where I realized, like, mm-hmm. no. Yeah. I realized everything you're saying, like, that's not me. Mm-hmm. I know me. I know I'm showing up with compassion. I'm showing up with truth and I'm
yeah.
showing up as a good friend. And so, yeah, to kind of go back to what you said about time is valuable. Like, mm-hmm. that's a huge mantra I've been kind of sitting on. Like, I know my time is so valuable mm-hmm. and like, same with like true relationships. Like when I'm investing my time into you, like it's like I almost, I don't want to say I expect the same in return, but also like, but then again, I feel like our vibration, it is almost like that level of respect. Like I know I show up as a loyal friend but I'm going to like, of course, protect my heart, but like I want to see, it's funny, right? It's like I am wavering between the two because it's like I got to protect my heart, but I also want to crack it open and be vulnerable mm-hmm. but knowing to protect my energy, protect myself, and know who's like truly there for me mm-hmm. you know, like that's kind of what I've in the last couple of years weeding out my true tribe. And that's when I met India, my twin flame. You're gonna meet her. It's my sister soul flame. But there's so many thoughts in my head right now.
True, we could go in any direction and probably chat for 3 hours on it.
Dude,
know? Totally.
I kind of need to take a bathroom break.
How long do we go?
We go as long as we would like until we're burnt out.
Okay, because I think we've covered some really great stuff on like what not to allow.
Yes.
And how to identify things. And I didn't even have a theme in mind. I'm just like real, kind of.
Go with the flow.
Recapping on some of the things we've talked about is creating separation, not being sticky.
Yes.
Not, you know, because when you're sticky, you leave shit too. Your stickiness sticks on other people that are vulnerable. So you're actually doing others a disservice
yeah.
as well. I think we've covered a lot of good stuff on like what to look out for
mm-hmm.
and some of the pitfalls and the lessons
yes.
of that. But I think after a bathroom break, we could talk about, because I know you brought it up, was manifestation, some of what me and him were talking about.
Oh, yeah, we haven't even dipped into
it. Mindset. Even,
yes.
And how your brain is like this tuner.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this radio receiver, broadcast. No, that, I'm not gonna use that word. Don't like. We already covered why not. Why we don't like broadcasting. but it's like.
Brings me back to IT.
It's like your brain is like this tuna, and your thoughts are like the spiritual currency that really drive your present physical being. And really control the vibration that you can. It helps you control the vibration is with thought. Really, it all everything starts with thought.
Right.
If you do something fucked up, you're gonna feel bad about it. But why did you do the thing? Because you had some thoughts around doing the thing.
Yeah.
And why did you have thoughts around doing the thing? Probably because your inputs weren't supporting good thinking, or that you were thinking about the wrong shit, or you were thinking about it the wrong way. And it led to, it just kind of snowballed.
Yeah, snowballs.
Whether it's what you said to your mom or what you, that time you lashed out or when you bitched at the dude who cut you off. It's like so many things, I think, around mindset that actually drive our state of being that will either be in alignment with our inner spirit and what we know we desire or be in dissonance to it. So I think that could be an interesting thing is like just talking about mindset and some awesome stuff. Cause I'm curious how you stay so positive and also how you relate to those ways of thinking. Cause I know you have your cards and your,
dude, I love you, Seth. You gotta have your own podcast. Yeah. I'm like, look at now you get to interview me. I love it.
We can go back and forth. Thinking and ways of thinking. Cause I think
totally.
A lot of people are like, oh yeah, all that makes sense. But what are some practical ways to tune your thinking?
Yes.
And affirmations and ways to be thinking to create those ways of being.
Mm-hmm. And the big, I would say the word, and this is actually a card I pulled yesterday. So my lovely Oracle deck. But it's like devotion. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I devoting? Like devoting, now I do really have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah,
but I wanted to talk about devotion and being devoted. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm like, I gotta go. I want to keep going,
If you enjoyed this podcast, reach out. You can leave a comment, review, subscribe. You can find me on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so much more. I'm also on Instagram, Facebook, and have my own website. It's Celestial Goddess Podcast. That is spelled CelestialGoddess. Also, if you feel called to donate, please feel free. I appreciate all the support to grow and to reach more people. I'm just grateful we're growing together and we're doing the work together. So thank you for being here. I love you forever.